we can face today because Christ lives. I have to admit that it has been a little strange these days. But man, today is Easter Sunday. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. It doesn't matter if the pews are empty. Christ has still risen. It doesn't matter if we have go out and there's no traffic out there. Christ is still risen. It doesn't matter if you are by yourself or have a full house. It doesn't matter. Christ has still risen. He has risen indeed. We could go on and on about Christ, and we will. But in these moments, I hope and pray that you have posted your prayers. I hope you have said hello to one another. I hope that you have even said hello to someone that you do not know. But in this moment, say to someone, Christ is risen. Whether they're sitting next to you in your home, whether you put it in the comments, Christ is risen. Beloved, God is faithful. God is faithful. So let us pray together. May you in this hour, O God, challenge those who are comfortable and comfort all those who are being challenged. In Christ's name we do pray, and all of God's children said, amen. I have to be honest, I'm going to be doing that a lot today. Over the past month or so, I've been praying about this very day, Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. What or if I could preach a message of hope and encouragement without breaking down and crying? See, for days at a time, weeks at a time, clergy try our best to think ahead, to prepare the way for the Lord. But in fact, God is really preparing the way for us. Not just for all of you on the other side of this sermon. God is preparing the way for us. Like many of you, I've been spending a lot of time with my daughter. And if you have ever spent any portion of your life around a child or even a teenager, you know they have a way of simplifying the complicated and the complex. There's a story of a children's church teacher, who knows, it could have happened right here at Cokesbury, who had just finished telling her first graders how Jesus was crucified and placed in a tomb. She told them how a great stone sealed the opening. And then out of her excitement, she wanted to share with the class. And so she asked them, what do you think were Jesus' first words when he came bursting out of that tomb alive? A little girl's hand quickly extended into the air and she leaped out of her chair and she said, I know. And the teacher, with her own surprise, was very excited because this little girl had the answer. And so she said, that is so good. Tell us, what were Jesus's first words? And the little girl extended her arms high into the air and said, ta-da! And that was it. The resurrection story. From the bright eyes of a child. Simplified. And not so complex. Christ is risen. Ta-da. Oh, how I wish it were that simple for us adults. How I wish it were that simple for us to comprehend. See, the resurrection is not a magic trick or just another thing we believe as Christians. Everything we believe hinges on this very moment. It is the very center of our faith. Yet we have a tendency to realize when we find ourselves in challenging times, when we find ourselves isolated and grieving, when we find ourselves having to make difficult decisions, or even when we find ourselves, when all is well with us, simply by paying attention and caring for one another gives us a glimpse into the resurrection life. Yesterday, I sent a checking on you text to one of my best clergy friends in New York. We speak just about every day, either through FaceTime or just a phone call. And she replied, "I am sad today." And I had to sit with those four words. And so that for that moment, I told her, "I am sad too. And I am sad with you." Beloved, without the resurrection, without knowing, without acknowledging, without believing, God is making all things new through Jesus Christ, there is simply no hope for humanity. I don't share this often, but in September of 2009, I was unprepared for the intense grief I experienced after my mother died. I felt like the whole world as I knew it had come to an end. Everything seemed to stop and move in slow motion. I cried a lot. I missed her terribly and frequently found myself wanting to pick up the phone and call her and text her, even though she would never answer my text until weeks later, and that's a story for another time. But I found myself thinking on innumerable occasions, if I could see her just one more time, if I could talk to her just one more time, if I could hear her voice just one more time. I think part of what hits us so hard when a loved one dies is the realization that there's never going to be another one more time on this side of heaven. It's such an abrupt transition. It's a shock to our whole system. It hurts and affects us on such a deep and incomprehensible level. And this is where we find ourselves on this Easter morning. That is, if we don't automatically and immediately jump to the Christ is risen, Christ has come. So let us step back for a moment and look at this first Easter morning. Jesus is dead. He has been crucified. He's been put into a tomb. His disciples, his family, his friends, and maybe those who witnessed the crucifixion of this innocent man were overwhelmed with grief. Most likely they were feeling the very same pain and grief we have felt over the loss of a loved one, or at this moment for what beholds in our own communities and our world. It is experiencing these moments, there's a state of disbelief, a sadness. And some of the disciples were in hiding. They were possibly afraid that what happened to Jesus could come out and happen to them. So they waited in their homes, trying their best to not only stay safe, but to keep their family safe as well. This seems like a modern day reflection of where we are right now. Many of you know during the times of Jesus, it was custom to wash and anoint the body of a loved one with spices and oil and wrap it in clean clothes prior to the burial. Because there wasn't enough time on Friday with the Sabbath so close by, the women disciples waited until early Sunday morning while it was still dark to go straight to the tomb and properly prepare Jesus' body. The Gospels differ on how many women actually went to the tomb, but our gospel this morning only mentions Mary Magdalene. We know from reading the synoptic gospels there were others. And so for a moment, I want you to sit still and imagine what their conversation was like on their way to the tomb. Do they talk about how they were going to roll back the stone, how that was going to happen? Did they weep as they thought about Jesus? Did they talk about their love for him? Were they concerned about the Roman guards? Maybe they wondered what will happen now that our beloved, the one who was with us, is gone. Or maybe they didn't say anything at all. But these bold women, they must have been confused and shocked and grief-stricken. And even more so when they arrived at the tomb, found it open, this heavy stone rolled away, and ta-da! The body of Jesus is gone. For some of us, it is just natural to accept this part of the resurrection narrative, that God or an angel or an earthquake rolled away the stone. But I want to remind us this morning that Jesus didn't need the convenience of walking through an open doorway. See, I mean, he did raise Lazarus from the dead. Jesus did not need the convenience of us doing anything for him. See, this stone was just not rolled away so Jesus could get out. The stone was rolled away so we could get in. See, contrary to popular belief, Easter is not for beginners. Easter is for those who have an understanding of what is happening through this resurrection. But if you are here and you have never heard the story, do not worry. Do not worry. God is with you. See, it's not for beginners because the first Easter starts off a bit scary. Think about that. A bit confusing. So much that the women disciples ran to tell the others. Mary Magdalene went to Simon Peter and the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and she said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." These two disciples tried to outrun each other to see for themselves. And sure enough, the tomb was empty. The clothes that had wrapped Jesus' body was still there. The cloth that had covered his face had been rolled up and placed in a safe place by itself. But they stood there for a while, acknowledging what Mary Magdalene had said was true. Jesus was God. And he was gone. The scripture says that the disciples whom Jesus loved instantly saw and believed. And then they went home. And they left Mary Magdalene there by herself, weeping. There is no choir to help cheer her up or bring her into the joyous emotions of Easter. There is no preacher to enlighten her with encouraging words. There is no theological explanation of the incarnation. There is no conversation around good overcoming evil. In this moment, I hear these words, "I am sad today." Mary bends down, most likely in confusion, to look at the tomb again. And sitting there are two angels. Once again, there's this grace of God's assurance that reminds us all that we are not alone. The angels ask her why she is crying. She responds, repeating the same words she told the disciples, "They have taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him." As soon as she says this, she turns around to see a man standing there. She was still bending down, looking into the tomb reserved for the dead. And at first, she did not recognize him until he calls her by name. See, Mary could not find Christ because she was still looking for dead Jesus. She did not know who he was until she heard her name. And it is in this moment that the resurrection hope and the Easter hope happens, when Jesus calls her name, Mary. Again, there is no triumphant choir. There is no preacher. There is no theological explanation. There is no conversation. The resurrection is a holy display of faith, hope, and love. It is about Jesus calling us by name and calling us into this abundant life. See, God doesn't appear first to the disciples who run the fastest or the one who believes the quickest. God appears to the one who is weeping. God appears to the one who is questioning. God appears to the one who is stuck in her confusion. God appears to the one who is standing at an empty tomb, not knowing what to do. Easter is not just for today. This resurrection is God's surprise, God's holy fireworks, a gift to each of us as we turn the dark corners of our lives. Because we never know where we might bump into the Lord next. The resurrection is for those who are still standing at the tomb, weeping for Jesus, looking for Jesus, who lived 2,000 years ago. They are impressed by what he did. They're impressed by the things he taught. They know about the suffering at the cross, but this resurrection is for those who are not running to tell the others. I have seen the Lord. Christ is risen. Christ is alive. If you have not done those things, then maybe the resurrection has not affected you. The resurrection is for life to appear out of an empty tomb where death has no sting. I mean, think about this. To be honest, it isn't something that you mention in passing, but this is what you shout out when the opportunity presents itself. Because the resurrection has given you, has given me, has given us new life, we too can begin the new work that God has called us into. We know more deeply now, more than ever before, that love is stronger than hate. Good outweighs evil. Truth can outlast falsehood, and life triumphs over death. See, in the eyes of many, Easter is a time of seasonal change. Cadbury eggs, egg hunts, and Easter lilies. But in the life of those who follow Christ, Easter is a sign of hope and assures us that no matter the circumstances or the situation that you find yourself in, we're reminded of new life in Christ that takes place in through this resurrection hope. See, Easter is about what Mary experiences. The transformation from pain and grief to sheer joy. Granted, I acknowledge in these present days that this joy may not come quick for all of us. And I'm not going to be that preacher who tells you you should be overwhelmed with a sense of joy and gratitude in this moment. I'm not going to be that preacher who tells you you should have woken up this morning with sheer excitement. But I am going to say, I know through this resurrection in Christ, I know through the grace of God, I know through faith, hope, and love. I know through neighborly love and fighting injustice. I know from providing for the needy. I know through Christ calling our names that the joy will come, the grief will subside, because death has no sting. Christ is risen. Christ is alive, and beloved, Christ will come again. So hear these words. You are loved by Christ. Hear these words, you are not alone. Hear these words, Jesus loves you and so do I, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. But as we finish our time together, we celebrate with a very simple way of acknowledging and celebrating that Christ is risen. And that is through our love of one another, through our love of our church, through our love of the Savior, through our love of God. Today is Resurrection Sunday. It is not just Easter Sunday. It is the day where Christ has come alive. And it doesn't end right now. It continues on and on and on. Resurrection Monday, Resurrection Tuesday, Resurrection Wednesday. It doesn't stop in these moments. We celebrate that we can sit with Mary, knowing that joy will come, knowing that Christ is with us, and that Christ is for us. So, beloved, hear these words. Christ is risen. Christ is alive. And it goes beyond da ta-da. The resurrection is the hope that we carry in our souls to help those in need of hearing God's encouraging words. Know this day and tomorrow and the day after that Christ is with us and that Christ will come again. He has called your name, and you will not be in this space forever. You will move through because of this resurrection hope. Christ is risen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, in these moments, it is okay, we understand, not to have this sheer excitement, but man, after this message, knowing what that hope is, the hope being in you, I can't help but to feel that stirring deep down in my soul, and I pray others feel the same. We are grateful for this time, oh God. We are grateful that you gave your life for us, this hope that we carry with us, oh God. Continue to lead and guide us in all that you do. We thank you, God, for being our God. And we are grateful for being your children. In Christ's name we do pray. And all of God's children said, amen.